Hey ladies, Scott Horton here. If you would like truly youthful, healthy, and healthy-looking skin, there is one very special company you need to visit. Dagny & Lane at dagnyandlane.com. Dagny & Lane has revolutionized the industry with a full line of products made from organic and all-natural ingredients that penetrate deeply with nutrient-rich ionic minerals and antioxidants for healthy and beautiful skin. That's Dagny & Lane at dagnyandlane.com. And for a limited time, add promo code SCOTT15 at checkout for a 15% discount.
All right, y'all. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton, and our first guest today is Kevin Zeese. He's a lawyer and an activist, Voters for Peace. And BradleyManning.org, that's the Bradley Manning Support Network. And you're on the board, or you're a legal advisor to them, some kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I'm on the steering committee.
On the steering committee. Okay, great. And thanks very much for joining us. It's good to have you back on the show, Kevin.
I'm glad to talk to you.
All right, so, where to start? I guess let's just start with the most recent news here. Last time we spoke, the military court was having all these hearings about the treatment of Bradley Manning while he was held at Quantico. And then yesterday the judge issued her ruling, correct?
That's right. She basically did two things in her ruling. First, she said that, yes, Bradley Manning was mistreated, but she found that there was no intent to punish. That the and as a result, she only gave Bradley Manning credit toward his sentence for some specific parts of the 9 months of solitary, the parts where essentially the brig commanders ignored the views of psychiatrists, and so Bradley will get 112 days off of whatever sentence he ends up with, assuming he's found guilty in his sentence. He'll get 112 days less from that, so it's about a third of a year off. The defense had been seeking either dismissal of charges for the outrageous solitary confinement and mistreatment of Manning, or a 10-to-1 ratio for the full 9 months, which would have been 7 years off. So it was kind of a symbolic victory in that the judge acknowledged he was mistreated, but the symbolic victory ended at the practical impact, which only resulted in 112 days off. So it's really not what we were hoping.
Well, now, did everybody in the courtroom break out laughing when she said there was no intent to punish? That's the whole point of this thing, is obviously it was the intent to punish.
Well,
is she just contradicting herself saying that?
Well, you know, the government put on its case, and during the 2 weeks of pretty intense hearings, and what they put forward was enough for the judge to hear a different view, which was that the brig had had a suicide at the brig prior to Manning getting there, and that their top priority was to make sure Manning was able to go to trial. And because he had threatened suicide in the Middle East when he was held there, they used that as their excuse to over-confine him, make sure he didn't commit suicide here. I didn't find their arguments credible at all. I thought that the government really put forward some pretty, hard to keep a straight face when you hear type arguments, but the judge, heard them and took it differently. And I disagree with that view, but that was her view. And that's the unfortunate reality of her ruling.
Well, now, okay, I ain't no expert in this, but you're the lawyer. So, good thing I have you here. Is it not the case that if the prison psychiatrist says he's not a risk and he should not be on these precautions, these so-called suicide precautions, because they are abusive when they are applied unnecessarily, doesn't he have authority? Don't they have to abide by that? And isn't that the betrayal of that they did intend, in fact, to abuse him by pretending that they were just trying to protect him when really they were, they had found their loophole?
Yeah, and that's why I think the 112 days was given off, was because that was the time period was very clear that the psychiatrists were on Bradley's side and he didn't need to be in there. I think the judge really didn't come out with the right decision here. I think it's very disappointing.
Well, it doesn't even sound like a rational one at all,
Well, the psychiatrist issue, she went with when the psychiatrist specifically said, no, he shouldn't be there. She gave the time. Now, she only gave him one day for, an extra day for each day that was true. So it's 112 days, but it should have been a lot longer.
But so the people who were in charge there, would they be, I guess if she had found otherwise, that they really were breaking the rules and they knew it or whatever, would they be in trouble for that, for disobeying the recommendation? Was it just a recommendation from the psychiatrist, or how does that work as far as the psychiatrist's authority?
Well, it depends on the type of situation. If he's put on prevention of suicide, that requires a psychiatrist. If he's prevention of injury, then the brig can overrule a psychiatrist. So there's this kind of there's not much difference between prevention of injury and prevention of suicide. Prevention of suicide part, that's where the judge gave Manning credit for his time.
I see.
To me, it's a typical and sad situation in how often the rule of law ends up perverting the outcome. Slavery was was supported by law, and police were used to track down slaves. That's a perversion of human rights, and I think the same thing's happening here. You know, have all sorts of military regulations, marine regulations, brig regulations that allow certain things, but the end result is Manning was mistreated. And the judge didn't even find a problem with the UN reporter on drug torture not being allowed to visit the prison because there's nothing in the regs requiring it. You know, so to me, that's the rule of law getting in the way of common sense. And I think that's what happened in this case. Manning was mistreated for 9 months. She read the rules very narrowly, and only the time period that they clearly violated them did she give Manning any credit, and then she only gave him not much credit. You know, she, rather than giving him 10 days for every 112 days, she just gave him 112 days. And so that's a real shame, and I would love to have seen a different result. I think that Manning put on the best case he could, but this is a very tough system we're in. It's a very high profile case, and, it's a tough courtroom to get justice in.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I think we all know, and I don't remember how we all know, other than, we know they want to build a case against Assange, but I think there had been some detailed journalism about the fact that they were really trying to flip Bradley Manning. They were trying to get him to say that Assange, that he was already in contact with Assange, and Assange told him to get the documents, which would then make them part of a conspiracy to commit espionage instead of leaker and a journalist, which is what they are in real life. I guess, first of all, do I have that right? And then secondly, did Bradley Manning's defense team, did they try to make that argument in court that, judge, this wasn't prevention of injury or suicide? They were pressuring him because they were trying to get him to testify against somebody else. And that's why they were breaking the rules.
There was nothing in the email documentation, and there was thousands of pages of email documentation about Manning's confinement that really indicated that. And so it would have been tough for the lawyer to make that case. There's a lot of talk about that in the media and those of us who monitor this case, that this was really about two things, trying to break Manning so he would plead guilty, and secondly, so he'd implicate Assange. But nothing like that was written down in the emails or documents related to Manning's confinement. So it's a tough one to prove. Mm-hmm. And so that did not come up in court. There was nothing said in court about Julian Assange.
I see.
And the relationship between that and Manning's confinement. So we can suppose that, but we can't prove that. And that's the challenge, of course, in a courtroom, is you have to prove what you claim, and you can't just make guesses. And so,
well, but they could have talked about, this was always the line of questioning, was they were clearly trying to get him to implicate Assange and get him to turn state's witness.
There was no evidence of any line of questioning along those lines. There's nothing that indicates.
Maybe that's really just not right. They never really did try to get Manning to turn state's witness.
Well, they didn't yet. Often in these kinds of situations in criminal cases, the time that the real pressure gets put on the defendant is at the time of sentencing or even after sentencing. When the person's faced with life in prison or 30 years in prison or, lengthy prison time, that's when you have the best leverage to say to that person, look, we can reduce your sentence if. And so that's often the time when it comes. It may come later. We don't know. We'll see. But at this point, there's nothing that we can say that point to really prove that this was about Julian Assange. And there's a lot to point to in their email documentation. Of course, they're writing their own emails, and so they have I'm sure they have in mind that they may be in court someday. So, this paper trail just may be a paper trail for the purpose of court. We don't know what's really going on. But we do have indications that their intent was to not have another suicide rig. And they used that as their excuse. And, of course, Manning did indicate some suicidal intentions when he was in Middle East, and also when he came to Quantico, he had a very, he had a really vague comment. He felt he was forced to say something about suicide. They said, "Look, you were suicidal before. What's your comment on that?" And on his intake form, he said, "On suicide, something along the lines of always thinking but never acting on suicide." And so they used that as an excuse to detain him more aggressively. So everything was used against him, no matter what he said or didn't say. If he didn't say anything, they'd use that against him. If he did say something, they'd find some way to turn that against him. So it was really a really tough situation Manning was in, and unfortunately the judge, listened to the government and took their side as far as their intention. It was not to punish, but to make sure he was live for court. And that's why he ended up the way it did. But she did say that he was mistreated, and unfortunately I think the punishment she gave the government for that mistreatment is not going to be sufficient to prevent it in the future. I think that we needed to have more of a deterrence here for this kind of treatment to occur in the future, and I don't think Judge Lynn gave any kind of deterrence at all. I think the government will see in the future, if anything like this happens again, that they can get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and now, I guess, I'm just thinking back to maybe when I was a kid or something like that, just, before I really knew anything about how stuff works, but just my basic impressions from school and that kind of thing. I would think that if somebody got tortured by the cops, or, in this case, the military police or whatever, or abused in this kind of way, that then, because of the rule of law and all that, the judge would always just have to rule that you've done your time, right? And if the people are angry that the person didn't, have to go to trial and serve the whole sentence, well, they should be mad at the cops for abusing them then. Because you have to have some kind of exclusionary rule in order to, disincentivize the authorities from beating confessions out of people, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's right. There was, we have come a long way since those days. You can just see it in the nomination of John Brennan to be the head of the CIA. How long we've come in a very short time. Just a few years ago, Brennan was not perceived as being acceptable to be CIA because of his approval of torture, because of his involvement with the wiretapping of the phones, the NSA wiretapping program, because of so much that he stood for. And now here we are a few years later, and he's acceptable. Well, you're talking about stuff even a longer time period, exclusionary rule, which essentially said that it's more important for the police to behave within the framework of the law, and even that means that some guilty go free. Because we don't want to have police, violating people's Fourth Amendment right to, be free from illegal searches, violating people's rights to not incriminate themselves, and now we've come a long way from that. And, I remember when I was in law school, and then after I left law school, how much things had changed. We had really become a system of, a system of justice that, is one we can't be that proud of anymore. That really has undermined the rule of law as traditionally it has been thought of. And we've become a country that, routinely violates rights, and it's approved by the courts. And this is very much what happened in the Manning case here. Yes, his rights were violated, but the court said not significant and only 112 days off his sentence. And, of course, Manning is facing potential life imprisonment, certainly potentially a decade or more in prison, and so a third of a year off is not all that significant in the scheme of things of his potential sentence.
Mm-hmm. All right, and now on a couple of other issues here. It's been, I forget how long now, almost 3 years, right, since he was arrested?
That's right.
And has been held without a trial. So, of course, there's the constitutional right to a speedy trial, but then again, you sign a lot of that away. You sign a lot of something away when you join up the military.
Well, that's the next big fight is the violation of meaning speedy trial rights. You do have a speedy trial right in the military court system as well.
It's different than the civilian court system or not?
Well, you have in both, military and civilian, you have speedy trial rights.
But, I mean, is it the same?
Yeah, it's the same standard? Basically the same. It's basically the same, and you can see in the court now the prosecutors are trying to start to blame the lack of a speedy trial on the defense, which I just find laughable. They're blaming the defense for raising these pretrial motions that are taking so long to be heard, which is just a joke because, what really has delayed the trial has been the government not disclosing evidence, and not disclosing documents that are required by discovery rules, really forcing the defense to push and push and push through motions to get basic information about Manning's treatment and the investigation and documents relevant to the defense. So that's been the real cause of the delay, and we'll see how the judge rules on that. Again, this is a very high-profile case. And a very complicated one, and so, you know, it's a tough argument. And then we'll go to, if that doesn't succeed, the next big fight, of course, will be the court-martial itself, which will begin in March. And that court-martial could take months for us to try. So it's going to be, this is a long road ahead still, and every step of the way, Manning's defense is fighting as hard as they can for justice for Manning.
Well, that's the one good thing out of all of this that I keep hearing is nobody complains that his defense isn't doing a good enough job. I hadn't heard a single complaint like that yet.
I think David Coombs is doing a great job in a very tough case. And so, you know, you can have a great defense and still not get a great result. But I think Coombs is doing an excellent job in this case, and I'm really confident that Manning will get a good defense.
So he's pushing the speedy trial issue hard right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. That's he's raised that. He put out. You can see the motion for a speedy trial on David Coombs' website. It's a very detailed description of all the delays caused by the government. I think it's a very solid motion, and one that should result in the dismissal of charges, in my view. But I'm not the judge, so I don't have the power to make that decision. But I hope that Judge Lynn will, you know, put aside the pressure she must be under in this very high-profile case and, you know, give us a just result, which I hope will be dismissal of charges. He'll have served, almost 1,000 days in jail already, so it's time for us to move on here. Manning's been punished more than he should have been.
Yep. All right, and then one more thing is the command influence. Now, who all in the rank, because, of course, in a military court-martial, the judge and the jury are all officers under the Pentagon, under the Army or the Navy, whatever forces. So I know that off the top of my head, I know the president and the Secretary of Defense or former Secretary of Defense had already declared Manning guilty, but there was somebody else too, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, mm-hmm. and the President have both declared Manning guilty.
And the Secretary of Defense,
And we also know that the pretrial confinement was being controlled by a Lieutenant General at the Pentagon. And so there's been heavy involvement of command influence in this case. The Manning's defense, David Coombs, has chosen not to go with a jury trial, but to go with a judge trial. I don't know if what went into that thinking. He keeps a bit of a link between us and the advocacy group and the court work. But he, it could have been the command influence, maybe one factor in making the decision. But I think he also has a lot of faith in Judge Lynn. I hope he's right about that. So far, I'm not happy with a lot of her rulings, but. Coombs has chosen to go with a non-jury trial, but to go with a judge trial. The judge will be not only the sentencer, but also the person who finds Manning guilty or innocent. So that's the direction it's going, is a judge trial with Judge Lynn deciding everything.
Yeah. Well, see, that's a real hard one, right, is to tell the judge who's going to be doing the deciding that, yeah, we can't leave it to you to decide, especially, I guess, he's already made the choice, like you're saying, to not even have a jury.
The jury is picked in these cases by the convener, which is the general in charge of the district. So I'm not a big fan of the military justice system, the court martial system. Coombs is. Coombs thinks it's a better system than the civilian system. He feels much better operating in the military court martial than he does in the federal criminal prosecution. So he has a lot of confidence in that system. But he's a wise guy, and he has chosen a bench trial with the judge rather than a jury trial. So that's where it's heading.
Yep. And, you know, it's still worth kind of going back over, though, just how absolutely outrageous it is that the president and the SecDef and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff have already pronounced this guy guilty. They're not allowed to do that.
Exactly right. And the command influence is very powerful in the military. It operates under a chain of command, and that's the reality. And
they'll get away with it, but they shouldn't.
The Bradley Manning Support Network, which, you know, is following this closely, want to read what's happened in every hearing, go to bradleymanning.org. and you can stay up to date on every detail, and you can get involved. And we really are planning demonstrations. We'll be in court monitoring each hearing, reporting on it. So I hope people will get involved with the Bradley Manning Support Network at bradleymanning.org. Get involved, donate, participate, show up at Fort Meade for the hearings, because we need people out there showing that we're disgusted with the way this case is going down.
Yeah, very good. Again, that's bradleymanning.org. Thanks so much for your time, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Good to talk to you again. That's Kevin Zeese, everybody. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, everybody. Scott Horton here, inviting you to check out the Future Freedom Foundation at FFF.org. They've got a brand new website with new and improved access to more than 20 years worth of essays promoting the cause of liberty. And FFF's writers, including Jacob Hornberger, Jim Bovard, Sheldon Richman, Anthony Gregory, Wendy McElroy, and more, aren't just good. They're the best at opposing and discrediting our corrupt overlords in Washington and their warfare, welfare, regulatory police state. That's the Future Freedom Foundation's new and improved site at FFF.org. The Emergency Committee for Israel, Brookings, Heritage, AIPAC, WINEP, JINSA, PNAC, CNAS, the AEI, FPI, CFR, and CSP. It sure does seem sometimes like the war party's got the foreign policy debate in D.C. all locked up. But not quite. Check out the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. They put America first, opposing our government's world empire, and especially their Middle Eastern madness. That's the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here, inviting you to check out WallStreetWindow.com. It's a financial blog written by former hedge fund manager Mike Swanson, who's investing in commodities, mining stocks, and European markets. Wall Street Window is unique in that Mike shows people what he's really investing in and updates you when he buys or sells in his main account. Mike thinks his positions are going to go up because of all the money the Federal Reserve is printing to finance the deficit. See what happens at WallStreetWindow.com. And Mike's got a great new book coming out, so also keep your eye on writermichaelswanson.com for more details.
So you're a libertarian, and you don't believe the propaganda about government awesomeness you were subjected to in fourth grade. You want real history and economics. Well, learn in your car from professors you can trust with Tom Woods's Liberty Classroom. And if you join through the Liberty Classroom link at scotthorton.org, we'll make a donation to support The Scott Horton Show. Liberty Classroom, the history and economics they didn't teach you.
Man, you need some Liberty stickers for the back of your truck. At LibertyStickers.com, they've got great state hate, like Pearl Harbor was an inside job. The Democrats want your guns. U.S. Army, die for Israel. Police brutality, not just for black people anymore. At government school, why you and your kids are so stupid. Check out these and 1,000 other great ones at LibertyStickers.com. And of course, they'll take care of all your custom printing for your band or your business at TheBumperSticker.com. That's LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck.